Same word, different style, different methods, different functions. I wonder, if Jesus was here today, how would he share with us? Well, there are several of us who would say, well, Jesus would listen and present only this kind of music. Jesus would have us come and be dressed in only this fashion of clothing. Jesus would come because there's only one way. There is one way to the Father, but that one way is Jesus Christ. So why church? What is this church thing? In the spirit of teaching, I'm going to give you a quiz this morning. It's an either-or quiz. Aren't those the best kind? Either-ors. They're not tricky like true and falses. You either are choosing A or you're choosing B. So, choose from column A and column B. Mountains or ocean? Which is better? Where do you want to go? Oh, whoa. There is not unity in this room. For the men, I'm a little hot, by the way, on the mic. For the men, straight razors or electric razors? There's always the A student going and blurting out the answer. It was called Peter when Jesus was around. All right, pretend you didn't hear the voice behind the curtain. They're giving out the answer. But let's see, straight razor or electric? Oh, I hear difference there. Ladies, red dress or a blue dress? Which is the best? I even heard red. I'm reminded, Ellen White said that every lady should have at least one red dress. Wow. What do you choose? Well, man, nobody. All right, let's try. Maybe we'll get unity in this next question. The King James Version or the New International Version? Which is the right one? Oh, I heard NIVs. Oh, my good. The King James, if it was good enough for Paul, it's got to be good enough for us. It wasn't King James for Paul. And I notice that none of you brought your Greek scrolls this morning. What's up with you? What's this getting on with this newfangled? And some of you even have that dreaded thing called a paraphrase. Oh, scandalous. Okay, I got to get away from the lightning that's going to come down. Oh, mercy. Wow. All right, Jim. Now you can, with the voice of authority, give the answer which you just gave earlier. It depends on your preference or your desires. You know, interestingly enough, we played three different kinds of music this morning. What was the common theme through all of them? Jesus, God. They were different genres, different ages. The Undivided actually had the old fogies, you know, the old baby boomers, come back. You should have seen their pictures with curly hair when they were younger. Oh my goodness, that's only 1985. I know to millennials that's not before Christ, that's AD 1985. But also they had some of the other people came, some very famous singers like Steve Green, Wayne Watson, there was one more who's Larnell Harris. Were they all the same gender? were they all the same race. But they had one thing in common, Jesus Christ. This one thing that binds us together. This last week, one of the lessons that I taught in my Christian beliefs is, what is the church? What is the church? And I heard from nothing but millennials, young people. I gave them the exercise of giving 10 things. Each of them, they've been divided into groups representing Christian denominations. What kind of denominations? Christians. There's one thing that binds them together. They are Christians. Each of these six groups got together. They had 10 minutes to fulfill both ends of this exercise. Come up with 10 things that's wrong with the church. So I got 60 answers. 60 different answers. Boy. Now, I could say, well, this isn't our young people. This came from the East Coast. But I'd be lying. This came from my classroom with 37 young people. Different nationalities, different genders, different groups. However, there were some common threads that were passed through that. What's wrong with church? They don't let young people get involved. The pastor's the one who's in charge. They're very judgmental. Maybe it's about dress. There's too much emphasis on dress, so I'm going to compromise and take off my suit jacket. There's too much tradition, boringness. You do things the same old way. So I move from a pulpit to a stool. I move to a manuscript to a talk. What is church? Fascinating. Then I did one other thing for them. Then I says, all right, now give me 10 characteristics of a perfect church. Whoa. Part of me says, when you find this place, let me know, because I don't want to go there and mess it up. Because I would. Wow. But can I share with you just a couple? A couple of them were this. When I come in the door, I'm welcomed. No matter what dress I'm wearing or not wearing. The people want to be there, not forced to be there. Ouch. Ouch. To the old timers in the room, that's anyone over the age of 33. That's what the millennials are telling us here. Ouch. They look at your faces, and their interpretation of that is, you're being forced to be here. I mean, if you wanted to be here, you'd be passionate. You would be on fire. You wouldn't sing songs like, some to Jesus I surrender. You wouldn't sing, blah to the world, the Lord is come. Let us receive a king. The words say joy. The words say all. How come you're not practicing what you preach? The church. You want a perfect church? There'd be no hypocrites. Hypocrites. Two-faced. actors. So amazingly, what is church? Interestingly enough, some of the very things that they said what was wrong with the church is things that they would have in the perfect church. So don't bank 100% on these millennials. They're figuring it out too. But there is a common thread of fellowship. There's a common thread of belonging. There's a common thread of acceptance. Our scripture reading said, even as the body is one, yet it has many what? Members. Now remember that part about passion? I told them that this doesn't happen at the Norco Seventh-day Adventist Church. That this is a church that's not any of those things, those 60 negatives, and has all the 60 positives. And one of those is responsiveness. So though there are many, there is how many bodies? One body. So also in Christ. Paul is talking to a little tiny church in Corinth, which is doing nothing but fighting. Fighting and fighting and fighting. Guess who they're not fighting? The Romans. Do you know who they are fighting? Each other. Each other. Oh, and we want to talk about church fights. Man, we could sell tickets to this fight. There are people who are doing some terrible sins. You don't believe me? This is a family-rated church right now, but there's some going on. There's church members taking each other to court. I'll see you in court. I'm going to sue you. Wait. What happened to this love? Remember, it's interesting that this is the very church that Paul is going to talk about. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. But in 1 Corinthians 12, it's let you have it with both barrels. Paul reminds you that you are not your own. That you are a church with a purpose. You may think that it is you who brings you here, who has us worship based on our preferences, our desires, whether we like the people who are there, whether there's enough programs, whether the church is too big, whether the church is too small. By the way, those are both added in the negatives and the positives. What does a church look like? Why do we have a church? And so Paul goes through this illustration of the human body. He reminds us as believers and followers of who? Oh, I thought that for sure that I was supposed to put Robert Roth there. Man, I missed that part. The auto spell must have changed it. As believers and followers of Billy Graham. I could insert any independent ministries in there too. Our spiritual well-being depends on our connection with Christ. Next part's very important, all by ourselves. What does it say? Through His body. Why have church? Because God said so. It's the vehicle that God has chosen. Young people, you cannot have church by yourself in the wilderness or the mountains. That's not church. That's not church. That's spiritual exercise, but it's not church. Friends, you can stay home and listen to Brother X on the television and the radio and be spiritually fed, but that's not church. That's just a goldfish feeding himself. And a goldfish will get bigger and bigger and fatter, and it will burst. Don't try that, young people. It'll happen if you keep feeding that goldfish. So what is a church? a body of Christ, a body of believers, how many of them are perfect? Meaning without sin. There ain't one. Do you know that the church is filled of nothing but hypocrites? The church is filled with nothing but sinners. That's a good thing, because Christ came to die for sinners. The righteous, he reminds us, they don't need a doctor. I've come for the sick. I've come for you and I. That's why we need each other. Church is believers getting messy with each other. That's loving. That's praying. Guess what? It's also called squabbling. That's also my preference. I don't like that music. But I know you do. So I'm going to defer to you. There's got to be a blessing in it for me. I don't like that PowerPoint. But if the young people like it, if it keeps them from falling asleep, because they look around at the other style, at the church members, and everybody's doing this. I have some great pictures I will show you at another time. Why come to church if all you do is sleep in it? Why would I want to be part of that body? The body of Christ is what God has made it. Us. Common believers with a common bond, a common thread, and yet we are as different as are our colors outside. Just look outside you. Now, it's really hard here because we don't have any beautiful flowers. But I do see some flowers in this sanctuary. I see nothing but green around you, right? Did you see those? Somebody came and spray painted our lawns. They're supposed to be brown. What color are they? Do you know what everything would look like if the world was green? Oh my goodness. But look at this. Look at this. There is every color here. And when Sister Diaz got here next to it, she's bringing up with her beautiful dress, which has so many patterns and difference and everything. It didn't clash. It brought out the beauty in both of them. Whoa! But I like black and I like white. Well, I hate to break it to you, but heaven ain't going to be black or white. It's going to be nothing but color. Every color, every shape, every style. Well, then I don't want to go, because if anybody's not like me, then it's not going to be a good place to be. Well, mercy, I don't want you to be there because I don't want to sit next to you. What do we have in common? Jesus Christ. That common thread, that common bond, that commonness going through there. Why is this a big thing with Paul? In this chapter, 18 times he uses this illustration on body. 18 times he had to keep telling that little church, you are the body, you are the body, you are the body. Hey, start acting like the body. You are one in purpose. Paul's conclusion in this chapter is that we must be connected to each other in order to be what God wants us to be. In the New Testament, the human body became a primary picture of the church body. And Paul puts an exclamation point. He puts a frosting on it. He puts a candle on it. He says, so also is Christ. So what the human body is to us, so also is Christ's body. There are many different parts doing many different things, but one unit. The reason our physical body is one is because all parts are, what's that next word? Connected. Connected. If you cut off your finger, anybody want to come forward? I've got a pair of scissors. I want to do an illustration. No, you sit down. Don't you dare. I'd freak out at the sight of the blood. If you cut off a finger, what's going to happen to your finger? What's going to happen to you? Maybe we do need to do this. That finger will die. So if you want that finger to function, what do we have to do? We have to have it reconnected. We take it to the hospital and get it fixed. Will that finger just on its own say, you know, I don't like being alone by myself anymore. I think I'll just go back and join the hand. Will it do that? No. That's not its purpose. So connection is absolutely necessary for life. Christ's body, the church, is not an organization, but an organism. Let me sink that in one more time. Christ's body, the church, is not an organization. It's an organism. You can create a robot and have organization. There is a chain of hamburger places that is bringing 50 hamburger places. I can't remember their name, but next year they will have 50 units in Southern California. They have this one interesting thing to this hamburger chain. Guess who makes the burgers? A robot. A robot. Every one of those restaurants, that hamburger, that, and you know what they call the robot? Flippy. Flippy's going to flip the burgers. Whoa! There's just something about what are we going to do? And that's a different question in society's questions and ethics and all those situations. But a robot can have organization. The parts are connected to each other, so it works. But the problem with the robot is that it has no life. It's organizationally connected, but it's not a living being. The human body, in contrast, has organization that makes it function, but it also is an organism. It's a living, breathing life. Newsflash, the church is not a building. Newsflash, the church is not a denomination. The church is us. It's people. It's a living, breathing thing. So therefore, connection in the body is necessary for the function and for life. It's necessary if we're to leave a lasting impact and impression on our society and in our world. Wow. Do you know what the number one common thing for the problems with the church was in those 60 responses? That church members fight. We're fighting over who is qualified to be a minister of God, when Scripture says that we're all ministers of God. They don't understand that. They don't understand if I come through the back door and I'm in a polo shirt, how come there are churches who will tell me your kind's not allowed in here? And out they go. These are real stories. This is what happened to these people. That one common thread is that we just don't get along with each other. Why would anyone want to be part of a body that doesn't get along with itself? Now, that doesn't mean we're all the same. It'd be a pretty strange functioning body if we all were a right hand. That would be an ugly, weird body. But as one of my students found a quote, it was so cool. I've been talking about fingers and hands and knees and everything. Some of my students wrote, yeah, but I want to be the guts of the church. I want to be the guts of the body. Do you know that in the Hebrew thinking, when you said, I want to have a heart after God, they weren't talking about this. They're not even talking about your mind. In the Hebrew thought, your guts, your bowels, that's your identity. That's your purpose. Wow, what if we were the guts of Christ's body? What if we weren't so worried about everybody seeing us? What if everyone was important? What if every form of music brought me closer to Jesus Christ? What if the purpose of a sermon wasn't to tell what doctrines we are to believe, but to share testimonies of how Jesus Christ has changed my life? Would people want to come to that kind of a body? The millennials say yes. That's what they want. What is the church? This isn't a purpose to beat us up. But it is a purpose to say that we have not yet obtained. We, as the larger body of Christ, Christianity, do you realize that in 50 years that the Christianity will not be the largest religion in the world? We will be passed by Islam. And if you take that out, and I need to sit down with a mathematician to figure out exactly what the year is, so I'm going to be sitting down with you, but I did some math, so you're going to have to check my math, but I did the probability thing. And get a load of this, friends. Do you realize that given its current state, that the last Christian on earth will turn out the light switch in 400 years? There will be no more Christians. We are not growing at that rate, and there will be more of those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, and there won't be any of us left. What do? We live as a living, breathing institution, not as a stoic piece of a building. That was the biggest answer that they thought was wrong with the church. The church is a building. The church is an organization. No one put in there, the church is an organism. The church is living, filled with different generations, filled with different ministries, but yet united in one purpose, in one cause, in one bond. Now, I need to give a nod to the other side. Pastor, you're preaching ecumenicalism. You're saying that we all have to be together. Well, I just want to close with this. The end of the book of Revelation, John the Revelator, looking out at that body of Christ, he sees them as a number that can't be numbered. There are no dividing walls between them. There's no divisions. The New Jerusalem doesn't even have neighborhoods. I mean, where are we going to put the Methodists and the Adventists and the Catholics and everything? There aren't anything. There's no section for the Hispanics or the blacks or the whites or the Puerto Ricans or the Zimbabweans. There's one New Jerusalem. There's one body of saints that are redeemed. And John says they are so vast, I can't number them. And John wants to be one of them. That's the body of Christ. We will still have differences while we're still on this earth. But let's don't let those differences divide us. Let's be strong. Let's have harmony instead of uniformity. Because I look out to you, and except for Jim and I got the memo you were supposed to wear this light color of green. But if you all look like us, it looks like poopy diaper color. No! Be yourselves. But remember, we need each other. Live that. May your Christianity be so passionate that young people say, I want a piece of that. I want a bit. There's a song we're going to sing, a modern song. Do you know I've been in an Adventist church where I was told, we don't sing this song. It's too old. It's not part of our genre. Well, I'm sorry, but if it was good enough for the Heritage Singers, it's good enough for me. And the message of it is what we are. We are all part of the family of God.